Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. I'm David Frank Gomes, and thanks for joining me on Frank Talk, a conversation about the art and science of a happy, meaningful life. I am a co-active Life Compass coach and spiritual mentor, and I was trained by master coaches from the Coaches Training Institute. If you want to know more about me or my work, you can always visit my website at lifecompasscoaching.ca. So let's get started. Today's show is on rock bottom. And here's the thing. You can start from anywhere and create change in your life. The simple question for most people is, will you? Many times people show up at a coach's doorstep because they have nowhere else to turn. They've hit the proverbial rock bottom, and that's okay because you can use what you have where you are as fuel for your personal transformation and make huge shifts in your life. So in this show, I'm going to give you a couple of strategies and suggestions and simple techniques you can use to help you work with rock bottom. So when you think of rock bottom, what comes up for you? Is it failure? Perhaps a cherished dream has not come true, or years of hard work have not paid off. Maybe it's an addiction of some kind or some behavior you can't seem to stop, and it's finally beaten you into submission. Or often rock bottom will show up as a spiritual crisis of some sort, where life becomes hopeless for people, or it loses all of its meaning. And this is actually interesting because it can happen even after people get some cherished goal they work so hard for, and yet afterwards they feel kind of empty. So rock bottom can actually show up in places you would never expect it to show up. So for most people it's probably something like, well, this is as low as it can get. And it's where the voice in your head might be at its loudest, telling you how worthless you are, or how stupid you are, or how, you know, fill in the blank here with any of the ways you love to insult yourself. The fact is that beating ourselves up has become a national epidemic, and it's, I consider, the single biggest reason we end up at rock bottom, because we start to believe the stories that we habitually tell ourselves day after day after day. So it seems like this is a pretty horrible place. It's like some kind of hell. And all of us have been there at one time or another, in some form. I would suggest it's one of the reasons that the 12-step programs such as AA have been so incredibly successful for millions of people. You can go to a meeting anywhere in the world and meet people who have been at the bottom of all rock bottoms and are now thriving. It's one of the great principles of success, which is to have a mentor in your life who's there for you during these pivotal moments in your life. And it's the principle of healing yourself by helping and healing others. So I'm going to propose something very radical here, which is I would like you to imagine that rock bottom is paradise. It's a beautiful world filled with infinite possibilities. And think of it as a heaven that's been cleverly disguised as a hell. But when you begin to adjust your vision, you start to see the potential of this place. And that's kind of when, you know, the magical Harry Potter stairs start to appear every time you go to take a step. And soon you're up and out. And rock bottom is also a place where many folks who've accomplished incredible things in the world have spent some good quality time. So you're in good company. For example, Steve Jobs was a college dropout. He was a fired tech executive, an unsuccessful businessman who at 30 years old was left devastated after he was removed from the company he founded. Imagine how that must have felt for him. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison, and yet hate never became a part of his vocabulary. How did he do it? A lot of people don't know this about the Beatles. When they were first starting out, Decca Recording Studios had recorded 15 of their songs and actually decided that they had no future in show business and dropped them. And, you know, if you've ever been to Disneyland or watched a Disney movie, you can thank Walt Disney for not giving up when he was fired in one of his first jobs, because guess what? He lacked imagination. So how did all these people turn rock bottom into extraordinary lives? And this is also kind of a, it seems like a mystery, you know, especially when we're going through it in our own lives. It's impossible to believe that recovery, let alone success, is possible in this bottomless pit you feel like you're in. So here's where we can learn the first valuable strategy from Abraham Lincoln. He was a failure in business. He had a nervous breakdown, and he was defeated in not one election, but eight. So perhaps no U.S. president actually suffered more hardship than he did. But throughout his presidency, he remained steadfast, and he was even quoted saying that if by the end of his term, I've lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me. So rock bottom is really teaching us this very simple, valuable lesson in self-acceptance, which is find peace within yourself that is independent of what's going on the outside of your life. So I'll say that again, because I think it's really important. Find some sort of peace and acceptance within yourself that's independent of what's going on outside in your life. And that means really always being loyal to yourself. And that means you have to embrace the totality of yourself. And, you know, of course you have to work to turn weaknesses into strengths and failures into successes. But obviously you're not always going to be able to govern the circumstances in your life, but you can always govern yourself. So in a way, self-acceptance is like, it's like a shield that helps you to block out the negative self-talk in your own head. Now, that's something we have to do in the moment when the negative talk comes up. We can't do it tomorrow. So one way to practice this is just to stop jumping past your successes. This is one thing I really notice as a coach, and I see it again and again in people. Something amazing will happen in the client's life, or they'll accomplish something, and they'll just jump right over it or rush right past it in this, you know, crazy need to get to some new goal. They won't even stop and savor it. So, you know, start noticing and savoring all these little places in your life where you do have success. And they don't have to be big things. They can be small. Because where you focus your attention is where your life will unfold. So if you really start to mark and become aware of the things that are going right and the things that feel good, you'll be developing a habit that all of those folks I talked about is one of the major ways they went from rock bottom to the success that they had in their life. You know, it's kind of funny, but you might say rock bottom is a place where the universe sends you a very important registered letter with, you know, final notice stamped on it. And this is the letter you've been sending back, you know, the return to sender thing for years. And you finally decide to open that letter up and answer it in the form of living the life you really want to lead. And the poet Rilke said had a beautiful quote. He said that perhaps everything that frightens us is, in its deepest essence, something helpless that wants our love. And I think that really sums it up. Because the interesting thing about rock bottom is that we don't arrive at it overnight. You know, we just don't suddenly show up and we're there. It's often a very gradual process, but within it, there is There's one universal ingredient that will always be present at rock bottom, and that is that we ignore our true selves, the voice of our hearts, and we ignore it one little, tiny, inconsequential moment at a time. But at rock bottom, we learn that there actually are no inconsequential moments. They all add up like drops of water slowly filling a barrel. We don't listen to the voice within our own hearts telling us our own truth. And a truth ignored will always eventually lead us to a crisis. I'm going to repeat that one again, because again, I think it's another really important moment. A truth ignored will always eventually lead us to a crisis, which means that within every crisis is a hidden truth that has been suppressed for us. And there's no evil dictator out there suppressing that truth. We do that stuff ourselves. So the question then becomes, why do we ignore the voice of our conscience, or our spiritual heart, as I call it? And, you know, frankly, there are a lot of reasons, and I couldn't cover them all today. But I'm going to suggest that one important foundational place that you may want to investigate is how you deal with unpleasant feelings and emotions. You know, put simply, most of us have developed strategies for dealing with anxiety and stress and fear that actually make them far worse for the most part. And the interesting thing about these strategies is that they eventually will become habits because we're repeating them over and over. And we develop these strategies, which become habits, because we have an underlying belief system that everything should be good and comfortable and pleasant at every moment. And the truth is that lots of moments just don't show up that way. So what do? We try to attack the moment and kill it, you know, or we criticize our emotions, and we fight with them rather than just letting them run their course. Like clouds in the sky, they eventually come and they eventually go. If you live in Vancouver, they probably stay a little bit longer. So here's what we do. We attach, or try to attach, just to the good ones. And we avoid situations that make us nervous. We bury ourselves. Anything that's uncomfortable, anxiety, stress, fear, again, we numb ourselves. We, you know, in a myriad of ways. It could be alcohol or entertainment or shopping or Facebook, you name it. Because we have this false idea that bad feelings ought to be controlled or erased. You know, I think we don't have to look any further than the pharmaceutical industry, who wants to convince us that, you know, there's a pill for every problem. And this intolerance towards emotional pain puts us at war with a basic truth about the human experience, which is duality. You know, for every experience, there is an opposite experience. And these are the belief systems that are built into rock bottom. And the truth is, sometimes we just feel bad, and that's okay. If we can start inching towards being a bit more friendly with what is in this moment, we can find our minds getting a little bit more spacious and lighter, as opposed to struggling so hard to control our anxiety and stress, which is a bit like flailing around in quicksand. It doesn't make the process better. So the reason there tends to be so much suffering at rock bottom is that there's a lack of surrender. And because we're in the ego and associated with its likes and dislikes, the ego is rebelling against anything that is unpleasant. But your soul isn't. Your soul is never stained by any experiences, even the most painful. It's not touched by any of those mistakes. You know, I like to think of it as the ever pure part of us. So the second strategy that goes along with self-acceptance is to practice surrender. It's an incredible antidote for rock bottom. And a wise sage once said these words to me, and I really took them to heart. He said, struggle ceases in surrender. Where there is surrender, there is acceptance. You cheerfully face everything that happens to you. Success and failure, honor and dishonor, praise and blame, gain and loss are the same to you. You stop arguing with the reality of this moment and what it presents, and life then becomes easy, flowing, painless. And that takes a continuous remembrance of something bigger than ourselves and just our own problems. So it's important to know that surrender doesn't mean you just sort of lay down and give up and go, okay, whatever, I'll just accept it. It means really at the heart of it that we just surrender to the outcome of our actions. So we're still doing all the things we believe in. We're still trying to achieve all the goals we want to accomplish, the life we want to go after. But once we're done with our best, once we're done with our action, we just let it go. We just start to breathe easier. So every time you do something, at the end of that action, you just stop and you breathe and you say goodbye. It's gone. And again, the poet Rilke said something incredibly beautiful that we can use in our daily lives. He said, be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms, like books that are written in a foreign language. And the point is to live everything, live the questions. Perhaps then someday in the future you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. And so, you know, if you carry a piece of paper with you, everywhere you go, and on that word, on that piece of paper, it says the simple word surrender. And you just keep reminding yourself when a moment comes up that feels sticky, you just take it out. And you'll find that it changes your life. It changes your attitude slowly. It's not a panacea, but it starts to become something you can carry with you that's very helpful. So you can use these antidotes of self-acceptance and surrender as mental antidotes. So when you are at rock bottom, this is the time when you want to practice some of these things. And they are helpful to help climb out of rock bottom. So I'm also going to include some other ideas that are like, it's almost like a ladder that helps you climb out one step at a time. And the first one is to find your own dream map. So, you know, if you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you actually arrive? So in a doing world, people want to do, but you need to know where you want to go, and you need a map. So in order for us to achieve our dreams, we have to have some kind of a vision. And within that vision, there will be goals. So even something as simple as writing down our dreams or creating a list of ideas, dreams, feelings, and then a corresponding action next to it helps us begin to stick to a plan. And sometimes when we even take these ideas further and make them very measurable, we also gain clarity and we're able to see, you know, where we're succeeding, where we're failing, and the things that actually have to be done, the steps that have to be taken in order for us to achieve our dreams. So I always tell people, you know, you have to visualize the life you want to live, and it's got to be your life. You can't be visualizing somebody else's life. And connect with how it feels, you know. I often find there are a lot of clues in your childhood. What did you dream of doing when you were a child? What did you like? What sort of things made sense to you as a child? And another fun experiment is to just, you know, ask yourself what you would do if money was no object. It's a way of beginning to find out what would really make you come alive. Because an antidote for rock bottom is aliveness. It's becoming alive again. Often when people get into rock bottom, they feel somehow something's died inside of themselves. And it isn't that it's died. It's just not been cared for. Now, the second step on this ladder is to use fear, but in a proper way. There's a great quote that says, "Look fear in the face, and it will cease to trouble you." And that's not something we like to do. That's why having a coach and a mentor in your life can be very helpful. It's easier sometimes to look at these places. So I suggest the best way to learn is to dive in. You know, when we overcome our fear of failure, we actually liberate ourselves. So we shift perspectives. There is no such thing as failure. There's results, that's all. Some of them may not be the results we were looking for, but they certainly aren't failures. I'd say fear is really the single biggest factor that keeps most people from experiencing a life of, you know, fulfillment and love. And if you are willing to commit to your own quest for your own truth, you will grow into that, and fear will cease to scare you. It won't be an enemy anymore. In fact, it almost starts to become like fuel for you. You actually look forward to it. You know, oh, this is a moment. I'm going to use this fear to transform something here. So it's helpful to define your fears in order to conquer them. Sometimes we have these sort of nebulous ideas floating around inside our heads. And some of the things we think we're afraid of, we're actually not. So one thing you can do that's actionable is create a list of everything you're afraid of and start facing them one at a time. You know, do your what ifs. What's the worst that can happen? Most of the time, the worst things that can happen are not so bad, but we build them up in our minds. So if you make a commitment to yourself not to let fear rule your life, you've taken another step up the ladder to get out of rock bottom. Another really important and beautiful step is your intentions and your desire. There's a wonderful quote that says, "Stop yelling at the movie on the screen of life. You can never change the movie that way. Go change the movie that's playing in the projector and ultimately realize that you are the movie projector." So your mind is a conclusion-generating machine. It generates conclusions for you and then goes out to prove to you that they're true. So when you start generating new conclusions, you start getting new answers. And our conclusions, our thoughts, could be said to be the soil in which the reality of our lives will grow. So you want to make sure that the soil is well taken care of so that your life can grow well. And when we just stop thinking about what we don't want and begin thinking about how we'd like to feel and what we would like to attract in our lives, they begin to transform. And I'm not suggesting it's some overnight magical process, but the present moment is the point of power. So if you are going to start thinking cleaner, clearer, better thoughts, would you be better able to start thinking them tomorrow, or could you start now? So instead of working against our desires, working against our intentions, we move slowly into alignment with them. So, you know, create a desire list, create an intention list, and wherever you go, take it with you. Make it real, make it alive. Look at it. and see that every step you're taking, is this step hooked up with your intentions and desires? If you have a long-term vision of what you want your life to be and feel and look like, and your short-term goals don't support that, then they're not short-term goals. So creating this intention and desire list can really help people to move confidently in the direction of their dreams. This is a big one. We talk about it a lot. Gratefulness. Helen Keller said, "So much has been given to me, I have not time to ponder over that which has been denied." Again, it's a common habit that we focus on our misfortunes instead of our blessings. And we can move from sorrow and despair to appreciation and hope, even at rock bottom, remembering all the beautiful aspects of our lives. And there's beauty somewhere in every life. And even that thought can kind of immediately shift us into a slightly more spacious perspective. So, you know, again, this is a practice. Each time you find yourself complaining about something, even small things, just reshift, reframe right away. And that doesn't mean beating yourself up. It just means you say, you stop. You come to a full stop, and you make a habit of just applying the antidote of gratefulness right there. So you transform your awareness, not tomorrow. And you don't do it by making yourself feel bad. You just do it by stopping and going, okay, what am I grateful for? Well, my heart's beating. I'm able to fill in the blank. There's a great quote by Blaise Pascal. "I made this letter longer than usual because I lacked the time to make it short." So finally, I think simplicity is really a powerful way to help climb out of rock bottom. And at the heart of it is realizing that this moment is enough. You don't need to add to it. And that's an inner moment. True mastery of our lives is realizing the simple joys of life and, you know, beginning to remove distractions and clutter and things that don't line up with our values and our vision. And often, rock bottom really is asking us, what do we need to leave behind to take this new journey? We might need to leave behind some bad habits, some addictions. We might even need to leave behind some people, some poisonous environments. And it often seems to be that we need to get to rock bottom to figure that stuff out. So here's a little NLP trick for getting unstuck really fast. I like to leave people with a little technique. So to get unstuck in like 30 seconds, you can just observe when you are stuck. So you get stuck, dum da dum, you're going along, living your life, it's all great. Something comes up, you get stuck. Just stop. Now, without judging yourself for your thoughts, you just freeze the image or the film, you know, the picture in your head. Is it a movie? Is it in black and white? You freeze that because that's linked to your stuck situation. So there's some image that goes along with the inner voice. So you want to listen to that inner voice next. You've frozen the image and you want to listen to it. You know, and it may be screaming at you. It may be whispering. But you just want to listen and notice, like, what is this little voice saying to me right now in my stuckness? And then what you want to do is just change the film to what you really want it to be. Change the picture, because you are the picture. So in that moment, you can just shift and imagine what that picture should look like or what that film should look like. And then five is change the tone of the inner voice. You know, the inner critic is awfully, it's usually quite a harsh voice. So change it. Change it to something soft and caring. Something, a voice that is more loving. And you can practice those little five steps anytime you're feeling stuck or you get into a mini little rock bottom. Because, you know, we get into little rock bottoms all the time. It doesn't just mean some major crisis. It can happen many times a day. So that's a great little technique. And it's like everything in coaching, it's a practice. So I tell my clients, it may not always be easy. It may not always be fun. But if you want to develop a new habit, because your habits will, that's how your life will unfold, based on your day-to-day habits. You practice these things until they become, you know, part of your DNA. And that's how people like Steve Jobs was able to survive what he went through. That's why the Beatles became who they were. It's why Walt Disney went on to the great creative work that he did. He didn't believe the voices outside of himself. So I close with a quote, which is that, ironically, gratitude's most powerful mysteries are often revealed when we are struggling in the midst of personal turmoil. So I hope you've taken away today that rock bottom is a place that we all spend time in. And we can also use it as fuel to get clear about the lives we want to lead. And when we help ourselves to become happier and more peaceful, we make the world happier and more peaceful too. So I believe coaching is a great way to help you get unstuck. And having a coach in, or a mentor in your life, is a wonderful way to, if you are feeling stuck or you are feeling at a big rock bottom in your life, get some assistance, get some help. Find someone who's right for you. All coaches offer, you know, free sample sessions, so if you're feeling like you need help, go and get it. And you're not in this alone. And I just think that so many people are suffering needlessly often when they're actually, not only could they get help, but it's there waiting for them. So I hope you found the show helpful. And again, you can visit my website at lifecompasscoaching.ca. And I'll see you a couple of weeks from now. 2 weeks from now on Monday. Have a great evening.